Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. Tom King in the host chair, our erstwhile K-Rock football leader, Ben Casanelia, handing over duties as we preview the national draft, take a look at what the Cats are potentially looking at, and also what's being looked at in terms of Geelong Falcons finding a home. And when we do talk Geelong Falcons on K-Rock football, we do talk Bradley Green, who, of course, has been the guru when it comes to the Geelong Falcons and also the VFL in recent years with the krockfootball.com.au website. Greeny, very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Kingy. It's great to be here on the podcast.
Now, talk to us firstly about the Falcons. Now, last year, five players drafted out of the premiership side, and it looks like that premiership team, as you wrote for krockfootball.com.au, is going to provide a little bit more in terms of AFL talent.
Yeah, it could potentially provide another five players this year, Kingy, in the draft from that 2017 premiership side. So just to put that in perspective, when they won the flag in 2000, two players were drafted that year to the to AFL clubs. That was Sam Hunt and Amy Buchanan. 2001, three more players from that premiership team found new homes.
Blake called Hodge.
Luke Hodge. So the irony is obviously in 2018 is that Sam Walsh, who was part of last year's premiership team, potentially be the number one draft pick as well. But as you said, there's five players. Michael Turner, I spoke to obviously for that article on carrockfooty.com, thinks there's about seven prospects, and that's probably about right, where last year they thought they had 10 good prospects for the draft. This year, they've sort of eased it back a bit, I suppose. There's not as many picks.
A bit more conservative.
But there's definitely seven really strong contenders, probably five really definite contenders, you'd say, I would go. So we'll start with Sam Walsh. He's clearly been, since last year's grand final, has been touted as the number one draft pick all season, and he's really done nothing wrong this year, has he, to dispute that claim. We've watched him play. We've spoken to him. The way he talks, the way he presents himself, the way he acts, he is an absolute godsend for any footy club. And when Paddy Dangerfield says that you would have played AFL footy this year, that's almost as good an endorsement as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, won the Falcons best and fairest and only played 11 games.
No, 12 games. And polled in all of them. So that's
12 of a possible. What did they play, 18, didn't they?
Yes, 17, I think it was, or 18. Yeah. But obviously won the Lark Medal as the best player in the National Championships this year for Vic Country, the first Falcon to win that for over 20 years. And, you know, was the MVP for Vic Country, no surprise. Co-captain of the Falcons with his good mate Oscar Brownless, who we'll talk about a bit later. Co-captain of Vic Country. If Carlton are serious, they'll take him at number one. If they're still contemplating trading pick one away, you'd know the Gold Coast Suns are going to pounce.
Yep. Is Lukosius the only threat to pick one?
Well, that's the talk going around, is that Carlton are trying to get two picks next to each other so they can take the two South Australian boys who they have had two or three of their facilities there, Lukosius and Rankin. Good mates, so obviously want to bring them together as a package. You'd think the Suns would do that at two and three if Carlton take Walsh at one, though.
Okay. Who's the next Falcon off the rank, do you suspect, on Thursday night or Friday? Of course, only 18 picks on Thursday.
Well, there's three players that have been invited to come along to the draft on Thursday night. So Sam Walsh is one. Ned McHenry is another, who's another player that went through the academy with Sam, another premiership player from last year, another Vic Country representative, and Connor Iden's been invited as well too. So you would say that if you're invited to the draft on Thursday night, there's a fair chance you're going to be picked up Thursday night or obviously early on Friday. Connor obviously has really come on. We sort of found him last year in a way. He came into the team as the 23rd man at the start of the season. He's obviously got some a great background. His father is Ghanaian heritage but was born in England. His grandparents were from Ghana and moved to England, and Connor's dad was born in England. Mm. So then he was born in England but came to Australia himself when he was a young boy as well too. So just missed being a next-gen academy prospect for the Cats, which they'd be at the moment they need some defenders, so they'll be kicking themselves that he got part of their academy. But you would think that Connor, as a sort of centre-half back, third tall defender, appeals to a lot of clubs as well too who are looking for defenders in the draft. And Ned's just a runner. I think he beat Sam at the draft combine in the yo-yo test, which is the endurance test, and almost got him in the 2K time trial.
So that yo-yo test is seen off the beat. The beat test is no longer.
Thank God.
Well, all the clubs do that yo-yo test at AFL level now.
And he got 22-something, so that's a phenomenal strike rate to get to that. And I think he ran under three minutes, for the 2K time trial. So, Ned, there's a bit of talk, and you've heard some whispers as well, too, about where he falls. There was at the start of the year, he was talked about as a first-round prospect. He fell down the draft rankings a bit, but then his form the last month of the season, and the Falcons said it was the best he'd played for them for the 2 years he'd been part of the program. He might have jumped himself back up the rankings inside the top 30. So, you know, there's a couple of clubs with first-round picks that are contemplating whether they take him, but obviously I'd see him fall somewhere between, you know, 16 to 35.
So late first round or second round.
Yeah, at least, the Gold Coast Suns are sort of one of the clubs that's been linked to him. Melbourne's had some interest in him. A lot of these boys have spoken at nearly every AFL club at the combine or during the year, so they've had a lot of interest. And so you'd think that there's going to be someone who will take the punt on Connor Iden or Ned McHenry early in the draft, if not sort of second, third round.
Okay, the other two that are almost certain to go are Oscar Brownless and
Blake Schlenzog.
Well, Brownless is certain to go now because the Cats have nominated him. So it's where now, as a father son, it's now where he falls. There's a rematch bid somewhere where the Cats either have to pick 50 or 51, or is it later that they can use pick 70? Or I don't think they'll do a Sam Simpson. I don't think they'll take him as a rookie. I suspect he'll get onto the list as a senior player and get the 2-year deal.
Yeah, well, Mick Turner said if he wasn't Billy Brownless's son, he still thinks he would have been drafted really high up because he rated him really high as a footballer. He's just he's a really good in and under player. He's a lot different player to Billy. He's not your key forward. He's a running machine. Mm. He can play wing and half forward where he sees himself playing at AFL level. And obviously a couple of weeks ago, Geelong and Collingwood did a strategic swap of picks, didn't they? So where Geelong sort of helped Collingwood out and Collingwood's helped Geelong out in case there's bids for obviously Oscar and Isaac Quainer, who's Collingwood's next-gen academy player.
And Will Kelly.
And Will Kelly as well too. So you'd say that obviously Quainer will be bid early in the first round, second round, and Collingwood will match that. But they've given Geelong the picks to be able to get Oscar Brownless if someone bids for him, third round. And potentially there could be a club do it. We've seen it happen in the past with father-sons. Obviously, Carlton took Jack Silvani a couple of years ago, but Essendon made them bid a bit earlier than they wanted to for him, obviously with the Brown brothers, Callum and Tyler as well too. Mm. So there's been some bids that happen on father-sons. It'll be interesting to see this year with the other father-sons as well too, what happens there and the academy boys. But as you say about Blake Schlenzog, he's come on dramatically this year. 12 months ago, they gave him a taste of TSA Cup footy. He didn't play in their premiership team. They went with Dane Hollenkamp, Sam Conway, and just trying to remember the other boy that was in the ruck last year in the premiership team. But Blake came back this year, improved out of sight. He's 198-centimetre athletic big man who's really good below his knees, sort of models his game a bit on Brody Grundy and Max Gawn. So
yeah, not too bad models.
No, and he did a lot of work during the year at Geelong with Paul Hood and Wiley Buzzer, working on his ruck craft, working on just things about his game. So Geelong clearly have identified him a long way out. And you think that, as an next-gen academy prospect, he'll be on the Cats list some stage this week.
Yeah, if not bid on, he'll be Category B rookie.
And he can still play, can't he, next year with the new rookie rules. But that would be an absolute steal for Geelong because he did test in the off-season. He didn't get an invite to any of the combines, but he did go and test at a couple of clubs with a few other players that these clubs are looking at from the VFL and TAC Cup. So Geelong might have got wind of that and potentially are hoping that those other clubs sort of
stay away
so they can get him early or get him for a bargain buy. But sort of shows the development he had this year, and I think the Falcons, they really rated him really highly this year.
Charlie Sprague and Braden Ham are probably the other two that have some claims on a spot.
Now, Braden Ham's the massive big smoky to watch for on Friday because he has come from nowhere this year as well too. He came back as a 19-year-old, and they played him basically everywhere. He's the classic utility player. They played him down back, on a wing, in the middle, and then up forward.
Showed a lot up forward.
He won,
the goal kicking.
Won their goal kicking this year, but then he went to the state combine, so obviously there was a bit of interest in him there, and tested fantastically. I think he's rated one of the best athletes in the draft. I think he also, his numbers were around Ned McHenry style for the yo-yo and the 2K time trial. Since then, he's had clubs knocking on his door left, right and centre, and the phone's been ringing off the hooks. So watch out for where Braden Ham fits on Friday, because there's a couple of clubs looking at him late, potentially as a rookie as well too. And Charlie Sprague, he got an invite to the actual draft combine, having played two games for the season early in the year before he broke his finger in a Vic Country trial match. A very good talent, isn't he? You saw him play last year in the grand final. Mm. Didn't look out of place on that stage as a 17-year-old alongside Sam and Ned McHenry and some of these
Brownless boys.
It would have been great to see him play a full season this year, but I think he only played five or six games. Mm. And in those five or six games, when he came back from his broken finger, he kicked three goals in his first game back. So as a high half forward, sort of, midfielder, there's a few clubs out there that are looking for those players as well too.
So seven Falcons potentially, and maybe three of them going first round, which would be first time in nearly a decade that they've had three in the first round, Granny.
Yeah, 2009. So Ben Cunnington, Gary Rowan and Jasper Pittard all went first round back in 2009. And, of course, Luke Hodge and Paddy McCartan are number one draft picks for the Falcons. So Sam Walsh could etch his name alongside those guys in history.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's look at the Cats. They've got seven picks. Pick 12 is their first, so we'll know who their first round pick is sometime on Thursday night, and they'll have to come back.
And it's their first round pick since 2014 as well too, so they've really, obviously they've given away a fair bit in the last couple of years to get in some of the players that they've brought in, so they're going to have to nail this one, aren't they? Because obviously before 2014, some of those draft picks are no longer at the footy club.
Yeah, so Cockatoo was the most recent one. Before that, Darcy Lang,
Billy Smits, Jackson Furlough,
Mitch Brown.
Yeah.
Some of those guys, none of them
are there.
None of them are at the club other than Cockatoo.
And obviously Cockatoo's got injury problems too, which we hope he'll get over for next season. But pick 12 is a big one for the Cats. You think that they're going to have to go. I know Wellesley says we go for the best player in the draft that's there at the time, but they would seriously have a list of what they need, and you think they're going to need some key defensive socks.
Yep.
When Harry Taylor pulls the pin potentially at the end of next year, Lachie Henderson moves on. Is that sort of the feeling you're getting from the club, that they're looking that way?
Yeah, as you know, it's as tight as a drum at Geelong Footy Club when it comes to draft. There's not much coming out of there. I would suspect a defender is on their horizon, but as you say, Stephen Wells uses that line. We'll take what the best available player at that pick. They usually don't go in saying, yeah, we need a key defender, we need an inside mid, we need a running halfback, we need a high-marking forward.
Well, they're going to get a ruckman for basically nothing in Blake Schlenschlag, yep, which will be a developing ruckman. He won't play next year, would think. He'll play in the VFL next season and learn off, you know, Wiley Buzzer and those sort of guys. And then potentially in 2020 going on, he could be the ruckman that the Cats have been looking for all year. And then obviously at 50, 51, you'd say it's going to be Oscar Brownless.
I reckon Brownless will get through to 70.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think 50 and 51 is going to be really interesting for the Cats, what they do there. I think 70.
Oscar?
I'm just getting that sneaking suspicion that 70 will be Brownless.
You'd think if Charlie Sprague was around 50, 51, I know Wellesley always says that if they have two players lined up against each other,
one's a Falcon,
they'll always go with the local boys. That's proved successful for them over the last few years, hasn't it, as well, too, with Jimmy Bartel and obviously a bloke called Albert Jr. who was pretty handy for him as well, too. But
he was a father-son, though.
He was. But 50, 51, I mean, they'll get their pick early. They'll be able to see who goes in the draft. They'll be able to get a good feel of where Oscar's feeling. They're going to fall.
They'll get a reset too after the first round on Thursday night, and they'll get to probably re-rank in a way.
Yep.
I'm sure they've done their own rankings, and this is how they think it's going to unfold. And you know, they'll rank for Thursday night, and the 18 players that will go then, and then they'll go from there.
What do you reckon they need though? After, obviously, Schlenschlag's going to be their developing ruck. Then you're going to have Oscar Brownless come in as a running midfielder. And then potentially a defender, a pick 12. We're saying potentially a defender. We don't know what they're going to take. They might take, you know, Sam Stewart or Jackson Hatley or Jai Caldwell, one of those, as well as he says, the best kid available at that time. But what else did Geelong need to look at long term? They need obviously look at a replacement for Tommy Hawkins in the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, that's probably going to be Radicalea, isn't it?
And then they'll probably need a backup or a support to Radaglia, because we saw this year when he wasn't there with Hawkins, Menzel, the early in the season.
Well, I think that's why they've got Kruger in.
To play that role?
Yep.
Yep.
Kruger to be
He'll develop, though, as well, too. So you'd probably want an extra one just to be there just in case. And then obviously two rookie picks on Friday night. So
What time is that? So it's about 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, Just a couple of interesting ones to watch out for as well, too, with one of those rookie picks. Maybe the Cats might do what they've done in the past, and Tommy Atkins has been thereabouts the last 3 years, mentioned as a potential draftee, and obviously won two of their last three BNFs. Probably could have won three had he not injured himself last year.
In 2017.
So, I mean, do the Cats reward him? But at the same time, he's got to kick someone out of that footy club, out of that team, doesn't he, to get a game? So do they?
He would have got a game this year.
He would have, because Scott Selwood is the sort of role that he's looking to play in, isn't it? And he was injured for a lot of the year. But
based on the form that he was showing in the VFL, they would have hated that they couldn't break the Atkins magnet off O'Brien's board and put it on Scott's board.
It'd be interesting. It'd be a great reward for Tom from where he's come from in 2016 when he started, obviously, development squad, and then got his chance in 16 and really made the most of it. And as we said, 17 injured, had a fantastic comeback year this year, and really dedicated himself to his footy. And the other one to watch out for, do you reckon Tim House will find another home somewhere?
I think unlikely.
I reckon about a month ago, I would have thought, yes.
He did say that he had spoken with about five clubs, but it's what they want and what they need and where he fits.
And the new rule that they've brought in where a player can avoid the draft and be listed, having been delisted this year, potentially some clubs might pass picks late and just see,
see what's available.
Yeah, and if defenders are gone or, someone, he's actually a very good both end of the grounds player, so there's not too many of those. And Brody Mychek springs to mind, doesn't he?
Is he a bit undersized?
195.
Is he that tall?
Yeah, he's 195 and nearly 100 kilos.
Okay.
So, depends who's... I mean, obviously, Gold Coast Suns would have been a great fit for him, but they took Sam Collins and Josh Corbett from Werribee. So, Tim, he might have missed the boat, but he'll be sort of holding out hopes as well, too. They're probably the only VFL Geelong players that you think are a chance to get picked up this week.
I spoke to Jai Bolton after he won his second Sandover and three medals. Of course, Drysdale and Leopold product was at Collingwood for a year.
And one preseason game, yeah.
The strong link that got him into the AFL was Aaron Greaves.
And now he's at North Melbourne.
Would North Melbourne be looking at Jai Bolton?
Well, they looked at Jordan Ngoi during the year. They looked at some of those midfield bulls, those mature-age midfielders. So Jai is what? He's a big boy for a midfielder, and he obviously got a lot of experience. Tim Kelly last year was runner-up in the Sandover, and look what he did this year. Mm. So you'd be thinking there's some clubs out there going, Jai's worth a second chance, and he's pretty dedicated, isn't he, Jai, with his footy?
Yeah, absolutely. Went to Perth and took a punt, and hopefully there's the big payout's coming if he can get himself onto a list.
Do you reckon he'll stay in Perth? Do you reckon the club's over there? He's under their eye. I mean, they've copped it a bit this year for the Kelly stuff. Do you reckon they don't want to go through it again? We've overlooked this boy. Someone's got to take him over here.
He's under our nose. Yeah, potentially. I wouldn't be shocked if he's drafted.
No.
I wouldn't be shocked.
No. And I think he's probably realised that he did make the most of his first time in the system. And obviously guys like Aaron Greaves and Nick Maxwell put a lot of time into him. And obviously after 1 year to get the flick from Collingwood was a shock to him. And to his credit, he went to wherever and played some good footy, gone to Perth now. So you just hope that there will be someone that could potentially look at him.
Right.
One of the interesting ones will be after Sam, then obviously if Carlton haven't traded pick one, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6, because then it gets to that stage where Geelong will be looking for those players that have been sort of talked about, the King brothers, Rankine, Bailey Smith, Lukosius. Yep. So then players will start to fall down that pecking order as well too, won't they? Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
The other thing will be the interest in the match bids in terms of Blakey and
Thomas to North Melbourne, the Tasmanian
boy. Thomas,
Bailey Scott. Will Kelly.
Yeah.
Isaac Quayner.
So what will happen there?
Riley West.
Will clubs look to match?
I would say that definitely Riley West will be at the Bulldogs. I think they've done with their trading as well too to get enough points to get Riley West. You would say that Blakey will be a Swan. They've committed to him pretty early. North Melbourne.
Well, the Swans' first pick
is...
This is a good result for the Swans. Their first pick is 26.
Yeah, and I think they will have to bid top 10 for him, but they definitely will go for him.
Well, if somebody's bidding first round for him and they're only having to give up 26, that's a great result.
It is.
And apparently he's at...
Jet.
He's a Jet.
Yeah. Bailey Scott, when do you reckon he'll fall? Obviously, Geelong were pretty keen. They brought him down here, interviewed him, spoke to him. North Melbourne did the same, and obviously the Gold Coast Suns.
If he's going to North Melbourne, he's indicated. North Melbourne's first pick isn't until pick 42.
Yeah. And that's where about they think he'll fall.
Yeah. So if somebody was to bid on him, I'll tell you who's got a lot of picks around there is the Swans.
Yeah.
Swans have got 38, 39 and 40.
Yeah.
North Melbourne in at 42. Would the Swans potentially...
Oh, they'll make them earn. You just don't be given those sort of players like you used to back in the good old days, the father-son rules, was it, where you could... Brown, 52 games, and Jonathan ended up becoming a Brisbane Lion.
52 when he was, or 51?
51. It was 50. I don't know, Kevin Sheedy joked that he said, I wish I'd have played you for 48 more games at Essendon. So we could have picked up Jonathan. But Riley West, Isaac Quayner, Will Kelly, Oscar Brownless, Bailey Scott... Now, Nick Blakey, and the guy from Tassie, Thomas, they're sort of the father-son academy players that most people will be looking at.
Yep. So the Kangaroos have got 42, 47, 48, 49 early in round three.
I think they did a pick swap as well, too, with someone post-trading to get sort of position
with
as well.
Port Adelaide.
Yeah. So Again, they would have known.
Fremantle, who got it from Port Adelaide.
There would have been clubs looking around that mark as well too for him. So it's going to be interesting this year. And do you reckon who will be the first live pick traded on for Thursday or Friday?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Do you reckon clubs will just sort of see how it lies
this year?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't think it'll be a lot of it.
No.
It'd be interesting catching up with Stephen Wells for krockfootball.com.au in the next 24 hours. So I will ask him about how he sees that playing out in the first year that they can do it. Greeny, that's comprehensive as always from you in terms of where we're at with the Falcons and also what Geelong may look at and others that have got a Geelong link. You know, we did speak of Jai Bolton there and whether they can find an AFL home. But looking forward to draft night Thursday. 19 picks on Thursday.
And then the rest on Friday afternoon and the rookie draft Friday night. Yeah. So it's a long, long day for us on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit going on, but we'll keep you covered across krockfootball.com.au. Greeny, good to catch up with you.
Thanks, Kingy, and look forward to draft night and seeing who the new Cats are and where the Falcons go.
Thanks for joining us on the Cat Attack podcast.